And I believe there's a heaven we're just singing about. But I also believe there's a hell. And we went through this a little bit, but I want to go over it again a little bit. Matthew chapter 25. Yesterday, this preacher, we had two preachers, and this preacher got up and had everybody stand up and repeat a prayer. And he said, you want to be saved? Everybody repeat a prayer. Now, I'm for people if they need help, but I tell you what, when you have no repentance, you just say a prayer, just like, you know, the Catholic Church is doing this and all that. And that can hurt a person. They think, well, I prayed this prayer. And you can pray a prayer, but you've got to mean it. Yeah, that's right. And there should be something inside you to know there's a difference going on. And so I got up afterwards. I had to explain a little bit about, you know, repentance and, you know, about, you know, you can pray a prayer, but it's not magical. If you mean business with God, he'll save you. So, and I just want to say this morning. Have you thanked God for not going to hell? Have you thanked the Lord to say, Lord, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, thank the Lord, I'm not going to hell? And a lot of times we get to this point where we say, oh, yeah, thank God, I'm not going to hell, but we really haven't really thought about it. I mean, really think about it. I mean, I was on my way to hell. I was going to bust hell open, man, and I was going to burn in hell, and God had mercy on me. God saved me. And, boy, I tell you what, you get a hold of that thing, it'll get a hold of you, and you start thanking God for not being able to have to go to hell. And And how many people are going to hell each day, every day we live? People are dying and going to hell. People, because they're religious, they think, well, I'm religion. I got religion, and I'm going to heaven. And there was a lot of people sitting there yesterday. They probably thought, well, I got religion. I got my religion. You got yours, you know, that kind of thing. I got my good works. I'm going to heaven. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, the Bible teaches hell is in the center of the earth right now. It's in the center of the earth. And hell, the Bible even talks about hell enlarging itself. And look at what Jesus said about Matthew 25, verse 40. And we're talking about hell. He said, this church, we preach on hell. Whenever I preach, I try to preach and mention hell to people. Why? Because most people, it kind of goes right through there. They don't think about it. They don't think about, I was on my way to hell. I was going to hell. And God had mercy on me, saved me, turned me around. And I'm not going to hell no more. I'm going to heaven. And they always say, oh, that hell stuff, that's this old-fashioned. That's old-fashioned. That's kind of, you know, that's not politically correct today. So yesterday when I mentioned hell, yeah, I could see people get, you know, they cringe. And but whenever I preach at a funeral, I always try to mention, you know, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And I try to mention that and preach on that. Because I wouldn't want to see my worst enemy go to hell. And if we really say we believe in hell, I mean, if we really do, we would try to do something about deterring people from there. Amen. If I was riding down the road and I seen your house on fire, if I rode by and said, oh, yeah, the house is on fire and kept on going, I'd be a dirty, rotten dog.
That's right.
And there was people in that house getting ready to get burned up. If I didn't try to rescue them and sacrifice to try to rescue them. And there's people dying and going to hell in 2018 and 2019 coming up. People are going to die and go to hell. And you'd be a dirty, rotten dog if you don't try to tell them, you know you're going to heaven. You know you're going to heaven, and you're not trying to rescue people from going to hell. And if we really got down to it, we'd be fanatical about it. Really got down to it. If you rode by somebody's house, and you would bust their door in, trying to get in the house, break the windows out, whatever you had to do to get in there to get them, to rescue them. And if you broke in their house and all that, try to get them out, and they say, hey, man, leave me alone. I got my religion. You got yours. That's your perspective. You think my house is on fire, I don't care. That kind of thing. But really, if a person's not saved, they're going to hell. And their house is on fire. And trying to rescue people, sometimes they get mad at you. They'll curse at you. In the physical realm, I think they would say thank you. But if a person gets saved this day and time, they ought to thank the person. I'm thankful for the man that told me about Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the guy that led me to Jesus Christ. And like I said before, I owe a lot of people people that's helped me through my life since I've been saved, helped me to grow and try to help rescue other people. I believe if a person gets saved, you ought to have a desire to look at your family, want to see them saved, and you ought to look around at your neighbors and want to see them get saved, and you ought to look at your people that you run into on a daily basis that you want to see them get saved. And that's why I believe every Christian ought to have tracts on them. Now, we don't always do it. We don't always witness. You say, preacher, are you always on fire? Are you trying to witness people? When, not always. Sometimes the Holy Spirit of God will quicken me and say, hey, how come you ain't got no tracks on you? How come you didn't witness that person? How come? And sometimes I've turned around going back and go back in and tell them. I said, I'm sorry, I wasn't doing my job. And my job and your job, you say, well, you're a preacher. No, my job and your job is to tell other people how to get to heaven and keep them out of hell. And keep them out of hell. And look what verse 40 says. It says, and the king answered, saith unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed. You say, are there people cursed? Yes. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If you need to underline this verse in your Bible, because when people say, oh, I don't believe in hell and all that, hey, why would God send anybody to hell? Why would God send people to hell? I tell people all the time, God don't send people to hell. You make choices. And your choice, whether you're going to go to heaven or hell, it's up to you. And he says, depart from me. I mean, that's good. That'd be a terrible words to hear. If you go into somebody's house and you're in there visiting with them, they say, what are you doing in my house? Get out of my house. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing, especially if you go by and try to be friendly to them. And they say, get out of my house. And you're trying to be a blessing. And they say, get out of my house. Can you imagine God Almighty coming up to you saying, depart from me, you cursed, in everlasting fire. Depart. That'd be a terrible thing. And a lot of people think they're saved, and they're not. They have no conviction about nothing. They just do whatever they always did. They have no conviction about drugs, drinking. And I know when I got, I was telling my brother this morning, when I got saved, I was sitting in a bar, and I was sitting in the bar drinking. I was getting ready to fight this guy, and I'm sitting there at the bar, and the Holy Spirit of God, I didn't know what the Holy Spirit of God was. It was inside me. I didn't know what it was. It was saying, get out of here. You need to get out of here. This is not for you. And I know I was sitting there, and I started shaking. I didn't know what it was. I thought I was going nuts. But the Holy Spirit of God is inside you, and he'll convict you. And that's why the Bible tells you, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. So you're sitting in here. You're saved. You belong to God. I belong to God. And God has a right to whatever he owns. He owns me. He owns you. And he's kept you out of hell. You think about this. You die right now. I had a friend of mine just call me, Bob Joseph called me yesterday, I think it was. Said a friend of ours, a preacher, his daughter was in the hospital getting ready to have a baby. She was having complications up in Pennsylvania. And now he was ready to go. He was ready to die. He's saved. He's won a lot of people to the Lord. But his daughter was having complications, and he said, I'm going in the other room to pray. And he went in another room, in a waiting room, and they went in there to tell him that everything was fine, and he was dead. He had a heart attack. He was 72 years old. His name is John Ertis. He says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. It says, prepare for who? Devil and his angels. So hell wasn't prepared for man. God never intended man to go to hell. You say, did God know man was going to go to hell? Yeah, he knew it, but he never intended man to go to hell. He intended man to come be with him. I mean, why did God make man? Somebody tell me, why did God make man? For his pleasure and to fellowship with. God came down to the garden, spent time with Adam, walked with him, fellowship with him. And God made man for his own purpose and for his own fellowship. And man chooses to, you know, not to serve God. Man chooses to go his own way, do his own thing. And God gives you a choice. He'll give you a choice whether you're going to serve him or not. And hell is a real place. And I thank God every day. Man, thank the Lord, I'm not going to hell. Amen. I thank God I'm not going to hell. And I've had people cuss me out and say, go to hell. I tell them, I say, I can't. Can't go. I've been bought. I'm saved. So take your Bible, look at this. 2 Peter chapter 2. We believe in hell. I've had preachers say to me, you want them hellfire damnation preachers? You want them hellfire damnation? You trying to scare people into heaven? I said, I wish I could scare everybody into heaven. I wish I could. But, you know, they rode around years ago. They used to have on the back of the trucks, you know, no fear, no fear. People, they don't even fear God. The Bible says there's no fear of God in their eyes. And the best thing you can do is ask God to put the fear of God in you. Say, wait a minute, don't sound good. Ask God to put the fear of God in you. Say, Lord, that I might honor you. So I'll fear to do wrong. I'll fear. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. Ask God to put the fear of God in you. Say, Lord, I want wisdom. I want knowledge. I want understanding. And God, I want to fear God. And the Bible says that in the last days, there's no fear of God in their eyes. That's why you'd see all these people dying and end up in a mess, going to hell. And 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll look at verse 4. Actually, we'll start at verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people. We got false prophets in this world. Right. As there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, trying to mess. Like I was telling the brother this morning, the devil can't get your soul if you're saved, but he can get your life, your wife, and your kids and all that if you let him. So false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. It says, many shall follow their pernicious ways. I can't even get that word out. Pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So when you believe the Bible and you believe in hellfire and all that, they say, oh, that's just crazy. Why would God send anybody to hell? Why would anything like, you know, and they try to throw that back in your face and try to make you look like a fool. And they say, oh, you a hellfire damnation preacher? I say, yes, sir, because if there's a heaven, there's got to be a hell. If there's a right, there's got to be a wrong. If there's, you know, a left, there's got to be a right. So everything is, you know, is counter to it. Heaven is a great place. And, you know, and we're going to go there if you're saved. But hell is a place you don't want to go. And I don't want nobody to go. And it says, and through covetous shall they with frame words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. If God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down into what? Hell. That wasn't purgatory. It wasn't purgatory. God didn't send his angels to purgatory. They're in hell. And cast them down. You know, the Bible says there's angels in chains right here. There's angels in chains. He said, what do you think those angels in chains are for? I believe there's the ones that mess with the women in Genesis 6. I think those angels is the ones that mess with them. Genesis 6, the Bible says the sons of God came on daughters of men. They produced giants. And they were men of renown. And Jesus said, as the days of Lot and the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I believe that stuff's going on now. I believe stuff like that's happening. He says, but if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved on the judgment, spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Now, I went over to Israel. You can see where Sodom and Gomorrah was. It's at the Dead Sea. That's where it was. The Dead Sea, nothing grows there. Nothing. I mean, you talking about sulfur. The Dead Sea is full of sulfur. Brimstone. People say, oh, that's this old-fashioned stuff. Man, come on. That's, you know. Say what you want. Fear God. And it says, turning the cities in Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemning them to overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. There's where we got to be careful. It says he was vexed. Yeah. The words, you know, words that end with X, vexed. Tax, sex, that kind of thing. You got to watch out for that stuff. And it says it was vexed. What happens is you get around filthy conversation long enough, you'll think it's normal.
That's right. Amen.
You'll just listen to it. And you know, you see guys riding the road that got the headphones on and they're listening to these rappers going, F this and F that, blank this woman, she's a B and this, blah, blah. And before long, that's all you think of. You're thinking of that stuff. So you think that's normal. And it's not. So what are these angels in chains? But there's angels that's loose. Look over in Revelation. Look in Revelation. Revelation 12. There's angels that go to battle against God. In Revelation 12, y'all have seen this before. Revelation 12, there's angels that go up to battle against God. And Revelation 12, look at verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Now, we know that's Israel, and we know that's talking about Israel. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars, talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. And she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And Jesus Christ. And then it goes on. You got 2,000 years in between there. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. And like I said, the whole thing today, people are fascinated with death. They're fascinated with, dragons. They're fascinated with the Walking Dead and all these different monsters, and everybody likes to see the monster movies and all that stuff, and half this and half that. And when I was coming up, the Night of the Living Dead was scared the fire out of me when I was a little kid. I remember watching the Night of the Living Dead. That scared me. But now that's laughable compared to some of the stuff they show now. That's laughable. You watch the Night of the Living Dead and say, look at that. That's stupid. But today, this stuff that they got, my Lord, they're preparing a generation for stuff to come. You got it on. You've got it on the video games. Got all that stuff, man. You got all that stuff coming. It's coming. It's coming. And it's coming down the pike. I remember when people talked about a chip being in people's hands and their head. And, now they got, that's a reality. They got chips. And I mean, they got chips in our cards. But the ideal thing is put a chip on your hand. That's the ideal thing. That way nobody can steal it from you. You put a chip on your hand or in your forehead. It's coming. Now we got the chip, because you got the World Wide Web, people can steal your information. And, the only way, they could steal your information, you put your hand down, got a chip in it, and they could probably figure out a way to do that too. But they're trying to more cyber security, and they're trying to do that. But this thing is coming down the pike. Everything's coming down the pike. It's coming fast. And most people go like this, oh, that's just normal. That's just normal. That's just the way it is. But things are coming so fast on us. The Bible says in the last days that knowledge shall increase. Knowledge is increasing so fast. You got a new iPhone. You got a new eye this, eye that, and all these new phones coming out. Got so much technology, and it's just coming so fast. It says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, great red dragon. You know what the Bible likens the devil to? Lightning. It likens the devil to lightning. It does this, like the lightning. And that's through the airwaves, coming through airwaves. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And it says, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he comes back, he's got to rule with a rod of iron. You say, why? Because when he comes back, there's going to be people that's going to rebel against him.
That's right.
They're not going to want, they don't want holiness. They don't want righteousness.
Yeah,
they don't want it. And it says, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness. And you got 2,000 years in here, man, in this thing. And a woman fled into the wilderness where she was had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. There it is. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And a great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. So when the world is being deceived on a daily basis, The way you keep from getting deceived is getting in this Bible.
Amen.
The way you keep from getting deceived, if you sit and watch the, you know, I watch the news. I watch Fox News. I see what's going on. I don't watch it all the time, but I watch news, see what's happening. But if you watch the news day in and day out, you'll be deceived.
That's right, amen.
Even Fox News. But if you read the Bible, it gets your eyes open to things. You start seeing things the way it should be. You start seeing things the way God wants you to see it. We know it's coming. We just know it's, you know, it's coming down the pike. You said, man, I don't understand this politics. I don't understand it. It's just all crooked.
Amen.
It's crooked as a dog's hind leg. You know, and they everybody's out for themselves. All the senators, all of them. You might find one or two or three of them, and they're concerned about our country. I believe our president's concerned about our country. But I know he's got his own self-preservation. Amen. It's like any man. And the great dragon cast out the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, come, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. He's accusing you day and night before God. He's accusing you. And like I said this a couple Wednesday nights ago, maybe longer than that. I said, wouldn't it be a blessing that the devil would be lying about us rather than telling the truth?
Yeah,
wouldn't it be a blessing one time? He said, that's a lie. I didn't do that. You're lying, devil. But most of the time, he's got the evidence. He says, our brethren cast down, which accused them before God by day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's how you do it. You say, Lord, cleanse me. God, forgive me. God, help me to do right. All right, look back and go to Revelation 1. Look at this, Revelation 1. We believe in hell, and I got to go to, I've told this story. I was over, a guy paid my way to go to this Republican Party thing, and I was at the Hilton over in Washington, D.C., and I was able to go there with senators. I sat with senators, congressmen. I'm ex-convict. If they knew where I came from, I'm sitting at a table with them. I'm a congressman from North Carolina, South Carolina, Illinois, and I'm sitting at a table with them. I got a Bible in my hand, on my lap. And they went around the tables, a couple thousand people there, and they went around the table, put a light, and you had to stand up and say, the guy would say, I'm Congressman Wilson from South Carolina, you know, and then people would applaud, you know. And then they went to this Illinois, and people would applaud. And it came around to me. Everybody had tuxedos on. They were all dressed in gowns. I had a suit on. And I remember I stood up, and I had my Bible in my hand. I stood up like this, and I had my Bible, and they had light on. And I said, my name is Alan Ryman. I'm pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I said, I believe in heaven real and hell hot. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell.
Amen.
And everybody went, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I sat down, and Congressman Wilson said to me, he said, man, we need more like you. I thought, yeah, I don't want to be crooked. I get in that mess you get. But anyway, that was fun. Here I am, like I said, Lord, allow me to get into place and do something like that. That was fun. I've got in places that is unreal. God's allowed me to have, you say, you talking about the Christian life is boring. No, it ain't. It's fun. I have had a lot of fun. Look at this. Look in Revelation chapter 1. Look what Jesus said. Look at verse 18. Hey, my brother. Good to see you this morning. It says, I am he, talking about Jesus Christ living. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. You know what? I want to serve him.
Amen.
He conquered death, hell, and the grave by his own power. And the devil has got to be and yielded to God. And Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave to overcome sin and paid your sin debt. Paid it full. So you can come to him and ask him to save you, and he'll save you. Look what he says. Amen. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of what? Hell and of death. Hell has doors, has locks. Chains. Hell has those things. You know what? Heaven has gates, but they're not locked. Look in, look with me, look at Matthew 16. Jesus said he has the keys. So how did he get the keys? He had to take them away from somebody. He had to take the keys away from the devil. And when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, the Bible says he went to hell for you and I. And we'll look at that. We've covered some of this, but matter of fact, go to hold Matthew 16, go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts 2. When somebody says Jesus Christ didn't go to hell for you, you show them this. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. Acts 2, 31, back up to verse 30. It says, therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That was a promise God gave. He gave to David. And the Bible says, look back at verse 25. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is my right hand. He is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in where? Hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Look on down, verse 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Jesus Christ went to hell. Only God could go to hell for one day and pay the sins of the whole world. Man has to go to hell for eternity and still can't pay for it. For all the world, only God himself could go to hell and pay the sins of the whole world. Pay it in full. And then he takes the keys away from Satan. And he paid that price. I don't know of anybody else that have that kind of love that would love you and die for you. He said, well, God made us. Yeah, he did. He died for you too. Paid for creation. He kept me out of hell. My brother was killed at 18. My brother was saved. I've come close to being killed quite a few times, but God had mercy on me, kept me from going to hell. And as I look at it, I go, my God, I've been in hell. Hell's a real place. And you know, churches don't even believe there's a hell. They don't preach there's a hell. They don't even want to mention there's a hell. If they do, they use the word called Sheol, or they use the word called Hades or Gehenna. They try to say, well, that's really, Gehenna is a place where they burned their trash. And Sheol, they burnt their trash there. That's a bunch of baloney. Hell is a real place. We believe there's a hell. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. You know, the Bible says if a man goes to hell, he becomes like his father. You know, when we're saved, the Bible says we're in the image of his son. The more you get this book, the more you start looking like Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that, you start seeing things the way Jesus Christ, the more you act like Jesus Christ, you have a love for people, you start acting like Jesus Christ. Now, it's not saying you become a wimp. Jesus Christ was no wimp. Anybody that tries to tell me Jesus Christ was a wimp, they don't know what in the world they're talking about. He was a man's man. Amen. He was more of a man than any man ever lived. Amen. He was a man. And for a man to lay down his life with Roman soldiers willing to stomp on him, and he said, no man taking my life. I lay it down. And laid it down. And he was a man. The physical part, we look at a guy that's taking steroids and buffing himself up. We say, well, look at that man. No. And then, you know, he's a wimp when it comes to a little woman telling him what to do about that big. And he's scared to death. But I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ was a man's man. Now, what did I tell you to turn to? Matthew 16. And I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ never abused he never abused the church, which is his bride. A man that abuses his bride is not a man.
Amen.
Matthew 16. And look at verse, Matthew 16 and look at verse 17. And Jesus answered, said unto him, thou art Peter. Now get this, because the Catholic Church tries to teach you that Jesus Christ was calling Peter the rock, which he wasn't. He wasn't calling Peter rock. Peter was called a stone. Jesus Christ is the rock of the ages, not Peter. And Jesus answered, said unto him, that because blessed art thou, Peter Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Said, why is he saying that to Peter? Because Peter said, look at verse 16. Simon Peter answers and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Talking about, he said, you're Peter. And he said, upon this rock, talking about himself,
amen,
I'll build my church. He didn't say, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. He wasn't pointing to Peter, saying Peter was the rock. He's talking to himself.
Amen.
He said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, folks, if you're saved, I mean, all hell can come after you, but they are not going to prevail. They're not going to win. Because the Bible says greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. You got a power inside you more powerful than any atomic bomb ever produced. The hell will not prevail against you. Only way hell is prevailing in people's lives is they create themselves. They'll create a little bit. See, God said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And if you're living in a hell environment and you're living, all hell's coming, feel like you're in a hell environment, it's because there's things that you've created and that God's got to straighten out in your life.
Amen.
And he will straighten them out if you get on your face and humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I've created a mess. My life was a mess. I was telling my brother, I ended up in prison and had drugs and all that stuff, and I started getting my life together, God helping me and other people helping me. Every time I got around my old friends, I got messed up. Every time I hung around them, I got messed up. The more I got in church, the more I got in the Bible, more God started, he started cleaning up my life, started cleaning up my surroundings. And people say, well, it's the environment. No, man, it's up to you whether you're going to live for God, and God can make a little heaven on earth rather than hell on earth in your life. I want a little heaven on earth, don't you? How many of y'all want heaven on earth?
Amen.
I want a little bit of heaven on the way to heaven. And I tell you what, a lot of people create a hell in their life because of the choices they make. And you've got to make the right choices. But there is a literal hell. And we believe there's a hell. And we preach there's a hell because Jesus said there's a hell. Now, I said this. When man, if a man's not saved, he becomes like his father. Now, I'm in the image of his dear son, the Bible says, but as many as receive him, them give power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. And I'm being daily, but one day I'm going to have a body just like Jesus Christ and be just like him. But what happens is, if a person's not saved, they become like their father, the devil. And the Bible says, Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. Go to Luke 13. Somebody find that where it talks about it, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I got it written down here. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Oh, Mark. Go to Mark 9. Mark 9. Go to Mark 9. This is what's scary. This is scary. Like I said, all these monsters that they have on TV, the Living Dead, the Walking Dead, and all that junk, and they have all these people, they make these movies about, different monsters that's coming and all that, and people are fascinated with it. They flock to movie theaters and all that stuff. Somebody's getting some insight from somewhere, but it's not the Bible. They're preparing the people for something to come. And in Mark 9, Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, a man becomes in the lake of fire, becomes like a snake. He has a face. He has a soul. He has hands and feet, but he becomes like a snake. Man, that could have been me in hell. Matthew or Mark 9, look at verse 44. Back up 42. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. And he's talking about in tribulation. Talking about you get the mark. He said, you better off cut your hand off. I remember watching that movie 24. They used to have a series on there about, you know, about all these conspiracy stuff going on. And they showed this Muslim that had, CIA put a mark and put a chip in his hand. And they were chasing him, trying to find him. And they're going through all these different alleys and stuff. And all of a sudden they went into a building and they had something tracking him. And they came to a place and his hand was sitting on a block. They chopped his hand off. It says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life. Now, you're not going to go through the tribulation period if you're saved. He says, in the main, and having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. He says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So what is that talking about? A man becomes like a worm, man, a snake in the lake of fire. You say, Jesus talked about it a couple of times. Look what he says. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life, having two feet, to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. I had a friend of mine that his name is Billy Anderson. He's got a wife, a couple of kids, and they're serving the Lord. His son's not right now, but his daughters are. And Billy, I was going through D.C. one time. Billy was staggering down the road. He got saved. He had a big old trench jacket. He used to sell drugs out of his trench jacket. And I pulled up beside him. I pulled over, and I said, Billy, what's going on? He showed me. He said he was all messed up. He said, man, I tried to cut my eye out, man, because I was reading the Bible, smoking dope. And I tried to cut my eye out because it says if your eye offend thee, cut it out. I said, Billy, I ain't talking about that. He says, if thy foot offend thee, then it goes on down where the worm dieth not, verse 46. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it's better for the enter in the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes be cast into hell fire. He said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And everyone shall be salted with fire. Every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Isn't that crazy? You'll be the image of his son or the image of the devil. The devil's called the red dragon in Revelation, but he's called the serpent, the old serpent. A man becomes, a woman becomes just like the serpent in the lake of fire. My Lord, I don't want my worst enemy to do that. I wouldn't want nobody to go to hell. And these preachers are doing an injustice. Why are our countries in a mess? They're not preaching on hell. They don't tell people they need to get saved, going to hell. They're doing an injustice to people. You know what they do? They said, during World War II, there was on a troop ship. Y'all have heard this story. On a troop ship, this guy was a chaplain, was sitting there. They were getting ready on D-Day, getting ready to land. And an old boy from North Carolina was on the carrier as they were getting ready to go to the beach. And the chaplain was with him, and he lit up a cigar, and he said, hey, boys, everybody have a cigar. And one of the guys said, hey, chaplain, is there really a place called hell? He said, no, boys, you ain't got to worry about that. Don't worry about that. There ain't no place called hell. Ain't going to worry about that. And one of the boys from North Carolina that heard the word of God and knew it, he said, then what do we need you for? Amen. If there's no hell, what do we need you for? There is a hell. Amen. And we don't want to go there. There's a lot more on hell. Jesus preached more on hell than he did in heaven. Why? Come to rescue us. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Aren't you?
Amen.
You ever thank him? Lord, thank you, God. I'm not going to hell. Man, what a blessing. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father.